My name's Mark. I'm a recovering addict. Really, really nervous. I was okay walking down here from work, and yeah, there's a lot of people here. I was just thinking, as people were coming in, there's quite a few people that have been part of my recovery right from when it started, when I was in an institution a few years ago, and yeah, chance to say thank you to those people that give their time up to come in and to be of service to Narcotics Anonymous in the prisons. No, my head wants to my head wants this to be the best chair that you've heard in 15 minutes, and my reality would be after the 15 minutes, my head's going to say it was the worst. So, and all I can tell you is how I got my seat here, and fucking nervous. Sorry. At the end of my using, I couldn't stop. I couldn't stop, you know. I still thought I was in control. I still thought if I got that job, if my kid's mum treated me a bit better, if I was a better father, if the lottery numbers came up, that I was going to sort it all out. It was all going to be all right, and I was going to show everybody. You know, and at the end of my using, I went to prison as a consequence of my actions, and really was really, really frightened, was really, really just had enough. I'd had enough, and I embarked on a course that was run in the institutions that's based on 12 steps, and started to look at my behaviours and my addictive patterns over a number of years, and I started to get honest. You know, I started to get honest about what I'd done, what I thought, and how I felt. And that, do you know what, when people say all you need is those three spiritual principles, honesty, open-mindedness and willingness, you know, I wasn't honest when I came into Narcotics Anonymous. I was very dishonest. I wasn't very open-minded because I'd had a number of years of doing it my way, and my way I still thought was the right way of leading my life, and it took individuals in the program to help me see that I was banging trouble, my thinking was distorted, and I needed to change rapido. What was it like? You know, I was a young kid. I came from an alcoholic parent who'd done the best that she could, you know, and I've learned that in recovery, because I really, really hated that woman. And I blamed her, and I blamed social services, and I blamed the police, and I blamed the schools, and I started using quite young, at the age of 11, and I loved it. You know, I loved smoking dope. I loved having the giggles. I loved having the munchies. And I remember back then there was even the paranoia, leaving my pals, coming home late at night when it was windy, hearing cans blow, looking over my shoulder, and just thinking I maybe smoked a little bit too much, or I was a bit tired. I don't know what I thought, but just got on with it. From the age of 11 to 15, I found my drug of choice, and I embarked on 9 years of using a number of different drugs and substances. And my behaviour became erratic. I was 18, I was a father, I was in a relationship, I had a home, I had a job, and I was an addict. You know, all I thought about was the weekend, going out, getting high, and being somebody that I wasn't. Because when there was no substances in my system, I was really quite frightened, quite shy, quite timid, and I can still be like that today. And unless I get to know you, I am very sort of self-conscious of what I say and how I act and how I walk, and, you know, typical addict behaviour. And I've been in and out of rehabs and institutions. You know, I've been to jail, rehab, jail, and the rooms. I came into the rooms. I'd done my first meeting when I was 17, and it wasn't until I came back, until I was 26, that I started doing some written work, you know, with the steps. And I went through the steps with my sponsor, and my sponsor died a little while ago. And I remember him, he used to talk to me, and I used to think, this geezer's really like, he's a bit of a god nut, do you know what I mean? Because it was all about God. But I could relate with him because he liked a bit of football, and he'd come from Northwest London, and he just broke it down really simply for me, you know, that my step one shows me that I can if I choose to, but the consequences of when I pick up, how my life is going to be. You know, I was sitting in an institution. My kid's mum had left me as a consequence of my behaviour. 9 years of torment that I put the girl through. My two kids were with her, and I was alone and isolated. And yeah, I think I was ready. I was ready to do it another way then. And I went through the steps with him, and I'd done a bit of the treatment way with the course. And, you know, I woke up one morning and I just knew that it was over, you know. What happened? I got this hope. I got this hope in the prison that maybe if I do it this way, that I could come out of jail and maybe get a little job and maybe have a few friends that I never had, because I thought I had loads of friends, and when I was in prison, I never got one letter. So that sort of put a pin in my fucking overinflated ego. And I came out of jail, you know, and I listened to what they said, you know, go to meetings. First of all, it was go to treatment. And I'd been away a couple of years and I didn't want to go to treatment, but I listened. For once, I'd done it their way, and I went to treatment. And when I was in treatment, they said, go to meetings. And I went to meetings. And when I was in the meetings, I was a stick with people that are like-minded, you know, and that's what I'd done when I come to meetings. And what happened? You know, when I started doing that work, the obsession to pick up a drug was lifted from me. I had all these dreams. I'd come out of prison and I'd get this great big ass and I'd get this magical job and I'd meet this blinding girl and my life would take off again. And my life has taken off again, you know. A lot of what I dreamed has now come true. I came out of prison and I got the job. You know, and I got the little place to live, and I'm still searching for the magical woman. And my life is okay today in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, my life is, it's like when I sat in the prison thinking, you know what, maybe I can get that. You know, I finished work today. I was promoted yesterday at work. Because I've been consistent for 6 months, I've had this job. I've turned up every day on time. I've not let them down. And I learned that from you guys in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, turning up, doing the commitments, turning up when I didn't want to turn up, you know, and telling people what's going on. A few years down the line, I can still think that I know it all, that I don't have to ask for help. I get a bit cocky, I get a bit arrogant, you know, and when I start doing it my way very quickly, that inside stuff starts erupting again and my head starts going and today I don't like the way that makes me feel, you know, it scares the life out of me because I know once I get to a certain point my behaviour is going to change and when my behaviour changes I am that much closer to going back to the old life. Now I've got my kids back in my life today, you know, I pick them up. And I'd like to say that's been easy, but it really hasn't. It's been a struggle. And I'm just learning now to be consistent with my kids, like I have been with my recovery, you know. What do I do on a daily basis, you know? I get up in the morning, I get on my hands and knees, I ask, please, for another clean day. Can I do something rather than looking out for me for someone else? And you know what? Some days I fail miserably because all I think about is me. And some days I get it right. Some days I speak to a newcomer. Some days I ring somebody. And some days I make that connection with another human being. And that's something that I never done before. And I've just never done it. You know, I learned that. I learned how to be a friend in Narcotics Anonymous. I learned how to, well, you guys have shown me how to love. And you know, that love I'm learning to dish out now to people that are around me, to my kids, to my friends, and to people that I come into contact with during the day. No, well, I don't know what else to say. All I know, if you're new around, you know, or if you're in and out, you know, give it a go, man. Give it a go. Not for me, for you, you know. I struggled with the God stuff, you know, because I was quite ignorant. I had my views, and when I started listening to other people's views and I started developing my own new views on God, my life changed. It really did change. So if you've got this far and you've still got those hang-ups with God, you know, God's looked after you this far for a reason. I don't know, that sounds all fucking religious, doesn't it? But that's what I believe today. And I'm not religious, you know. I believe there's a God up there that loves me and loves every one of us. Please, I don't go to church and all that stuff. I don't. Life's all right today, man. You know, a member came into the prison. I'm going to finish on this. And he took his kids. When he was in recovery, he took his kids to some exotic island and he was explaining in the meeting and I thought to myself when I was sitting there, you know what, when I get out of prison, I'm going to do that. And at the end of next month, I'm going to Thailand for 2 weeks, you know. Fucking Thailand. For me, that's big stuff, you know. Getting my passport come through the post, because my head told me they're not going to give you one. It's big stuff. Me going to pay my rent tomorrow after I finish work is big stuff. I've never done it before. It's all new. It's all what I've learned in here. If I don't pay the rent, they're going to evict me. If they evict me, I've got nowhere to live. Thanks for asking me, Roz, and thanks to everybody that's been a part of my recovery. And yeah, I wish you all well. Cheers.
Thanks, Mark.